Alright, it's hard to say if this is ultimately going to be a Cohen Meander recording, but you know what? Almost everything can be now, unless I say something really obnoxious, really stupid, or drop a lot of names. It'll probably stay in. I'm Jason Nimro, and you're listening to Cohen Meander. I find myself doing a lot of research lately. I was actually looking at gyrocopters a little bit. These are things that can technically go faster than my car can, are relatively safe to fly, and I don't know how much they cost. I'm sure that will be the prohibitive thing for going back and forth between the house in Tucumcari, Muir Cottage, and the place in French, which is the French Ditch. I like Lisa's name for it. So that's kind of what happens. There's nothing else to say about a gyrocopter except that that they exist. Technically, they can be an ultralight. So, with a little bit of training, you can use one of these things. I can't think, honestly, since I can't think that anything gets better gas mileage, which will probably be, besides the cost of the silly thing, the deciding factor on whether it's something to even spend any more time thinking about is this stuff. I'm headed home from work. Right before this is the beginning of my Christmas break, which is 3 days now. I'll actually get 4 days off for New Year's. Just it kind of works out that way, and that's not I think I'll be okay. After the 2 weeks that Lisa and I spent together, it's wonderful. It was wonderful for me. I love Lisa Jane. I say it and people go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you go, oh, no, I'm not kidding. This is, I would be a completely different person if Lisa wasn't. Persuading me to be, I think, a better person. I'm very happy. I don't know if this is going to be a long recording or not. Really, I don't have a lot to talk about. Here in a week, I'm speaking in sacrament meetings, so I've started working on something that I'd like to say. It was supposed to be about insights from the Book of Mormon. And I've taken a little bit from my, I don't know if it's my favorite, my most impactful portions of the Book of Mormon. Some of the things that Christ himself said that were recorded in the Book of Mormon. But I don't think a lot of people really like to hear. For those people who are really invested in oh, Jesus loves us and he loves us, and even though we don't really try very hard, even though we're horrible sinners, Jesus loves us, and because he loves us, he's not going to watch us fail. And you're going, well, first, it depends on what your definition of failure is. as to what that's supposed to mean. For Latter-day Saints, I think it means, oh, I'm going to the celestial kingdom, and I'm going to be able to be like God. And you're going, you think you can do that without becoming the kind of person that basically avoids sin and works to serve your neighbor? You don't think you have to really do a good job. You have to do a good job at that. Christians do a magnificent job, and they're not going to make the celestial kingdom just by fiat, unless they actually decide that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's church on the earth, and decide to accept the work done by Latter-day Saints in temples. They're not going to make it the celestial kingdom. They might be fantastic otherwise. Very giving, very wonderful. You know, being Christ-like on every other level. Christ has made it quite clear. If you're not baptized, you're not going to make it. And I know people go, but don't I get a pass for good behavior? And it's like, do the scriptures say, did Jesus say you would get a pass for good behavior? And you go, well, most of them haven't read the Bible, so they really couldn't give you an answer except to say, guys, it says there many times in the New Testament and at least a time or two in the Book of Mormon that you've got to live this way, or some things have to be done. Now, is he going to make it so that, you know, you have a good opportunity? Yes. Is everybody going to have an opportunity? They will. Now, you got to know that if you're up there in spirit prison, which is where you have to hang out until you're clean. Now, you know, don't sin much. You won't have to be clean very long. Spend time in paradise, which is going to be nice. What everybody sees is heaven, although they don't know that it's short term. Much more about other things. But, you know, what's going to be their fate? You go, they're going to go someplace fantastic. Is it going to be like being like God? Of course not. Why not? And you go, because they didn't do what it took to get there. Well, I was a good person. I followed the rules that Jesus gave. Well, except for that baptism business. Or I got baptized by somebody who really wasn't authorized to do it. You go, yeah. You go, you got suckered. And they probably told you, no matter what you do, you stay away from those Mormons. Those people are going to destroy you. And so you took that bait, you know, which is exactly what Satan wanted them to do. You paid money, probably paid money to people to teach you these things. And it's like, wow, this is, will that stuff continue into the spirit world? I don't know. I don't know if the stuff that you held strongly to you'll continue to hold strongly to there. You certainly have evidence from Scripture that the same sort of person you were here on earth, you will continue to be up there. It's not like there's some magic wand and all of a sudden you suddenly decide to change and become a better person. I don't know how it works exactly, but it seems like you will be the same sort of a person. You'll carry your attitudes and things like that into the next world. And so it's like saying, you know, it says, I don't think it's wise to, you know, the biggest thing and the thing that I've kind of harped on for a pretty good amount of time now has been the whole idea that you really need to, you know, there's so many people. We talk about going to the temple and getting sealed as a family for eternity, and a lot of Christians, just especially modern ones, dismiss that outright. Now they've changed to saying, oh, that's blasphemous. You know, the scriptures don't say that. They've actually switched to saying, oh, I'm not worried about that. I'm sure that I will get that because Jesus loves me. And that's really their whole thing, is that Jesus loves me, and therefore I'll just put my trust in him. And you're going, well, can I be honest? You probably need to be very careful which Jesus you are following. You can say that Jesus loves you so much that he's going to make everything beautiful and everything wonderful and give you everything you could possibly have. But that's actually not the Jesus that we see in Scripture, and that's not the Jesus promulgated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that's why I get a little concerned sometimes that I think that the church, the LDS church, sorry, I don't need to shorten that, the Church of Jesus Christ really wants to out-Christian the Christians. And it bothers me a little. I don't know if that's that big of a deal, but everything that most Christians want to have in heaven, in an afterlife, they're going to get the terrestrial kingdom. Beautiful, wonderful, don't have to worry anymore, no more concerns, no more problems. As long as you don't get As long as you don't really tell them that there was something better they could have, which they find blasphemous. You can't be like God. How dare you think that? God is so much above us. You go, you know what? The more you say that, the more true it becomes for you. And you go, you know, you're going to go to a wonderful place with wonderful people. The terrestrial kingdom is marvelous, far beyond anything that we could comprehend. I think I used to try to compare it to the Garden of Eden, which I don't think is a bad comparison, but I don't think we can really understand how really wonderful it was there. I don't know what we'll be doing. I don't know any of that. My grandmother was... said that she was going to be floating in the clouds playing a harp, which I thought was funny since she went to church with my great uncle / grandfather. It's actually my great uncle, but he was married to my grandmother, and we called him Gramps. So was he as much my grandfather as anybody? Sure, absolutely. She went to church with him at the Church of Christ, and I thought it was funny because they don't do instruments. The proper way to praise God doesn't include instruments, as far as I'm aware of, for them. A cappella singers, oh my gosh, they're amazing. Never heard better singers in my life besides the Tongans and the Samoans. Heck, anybody that's Polynesian tend to be these amazing singers. Anyway, you know, so I always thought it was kind of funny that she thought we'd be up playing harps, and you go, but the church that you go to, the denomination that I don't know if she really subscribed to it or not. I for all I know, she just went to that church because it was the church her husband went to. So I don't really know where she stands on anything. That was what she told me once upon a time. And you know what? Hey, you can do that in the terrestrial kingdom. I'm sure there's harps. I'm sure there's clouds. And I'm sure that one has the ability to fly amongst the clouds. I don't think that's anything untoward. I don't think she's going to be upset or unhappy. Now, there's the possibility that if full disclosure comes and they say, oh, there was a lot better you could have had, but you really didn't pursue it, you know, and the work's been done for her. She can accept an authoritative baptism that's been done for her. Of course, she can choose not to. And, you know, but yeah, how many people, because they've kind of been snowed under, I don't know how to say it, been convinced otherwise, that's why you've got to be really careful, or I don't know if you have to be careful. You've got to know that claiming that you talk for God, that you really are talking for God. Make sure your source of godly information is a good source. Make sure that it's authoritative. If it's not, keep looking. Keep searching. Now, if you're listening to this, hey, I'll tell you where I found it. In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Right here. What a marvelous, marvelous thing. And I feel just supremely blessed because I was sent to a family, broken up though it may be, that my father was baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints when he was a teenager. My mother was baptized in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints after she married my father. Wow, there's this little bit of a little Playa Lake here. And I mean, it's just surrounded by ducks. There's like thousands of ducks. I'm sure they're going to get up soon and decide to go flying again. But for right now, they're all kind of sitting in the lake. And around here, these are occasional lakes. They come and they go, this one isn't. That I just went past. It's typically there all the time. Somebody put up a dam on one side so it holds water pretty good. Anyway, I'm just so blessed because I came from this kind of a background. My mom, once she joined the church, she moved out to California. We had neighbors that just supposed that she was an active member of the church and treated her like one, and she became one. And I don't recall her ever really not going to church since then. My father, a little trickier, he had to overcome some smoking problems. Smoking is against the word of wisdom, which was revealed to Joseph Smith. way back when Joseph Smith was around. And it was a later time. And but my dad's become pretty stalwart as well. He had a wonderful mother that joined the church not too long after he did. And his two younger brothers. And my grandmother, my father's mother, was a stalwart. Boy, as soon as she was baptized, she was church. She was fantastic, and really became kind of the anchor point for my whole family, including for my mother, I think. My dad's father ended up joining the church very, very late in his life. Not very late, but he joined the church just before Lisa and I got married. So he joined the church there in the late 80s. And I forget when he passed away. Regardless, stalwarts. And I'm grateful for it because that informed me so that when I had the circumstances, when I was kind of pushed up against the wall almost to say, what do you really believe? What do you really intend to do? I prayed and I got my own personal witness of the Book of Mormon. And with a witness of the Book of Mormon comes a witness of Joseph Smith. And with a witness of those two, as you study the Book of Mormon and as you plug in the Bible and everything else, you get this insight into Jesus Christ as the Savior, what he wants and what he needs, and what he really, really requires of us. These things are not difficult, and we don't have to be immediately fantastic at them. We'll get the help we need along the way as long as we're wanting it, as long as we're asking for it. And I think that's kind of what gets discounted with this kind of, oh, Jesus loves me, and therefore every single wonderful thing that could possibly be, I'm going to get to have, and my friends are going to get to have, these neighbors that I really love, they'll get to have it too. And you go, only if they really desire it, only if, and not just desire, but act on that desire. Learn what Christ wants them to do, and then start doing it. Ta-da. Stuff like that. So, I hope I don't just harp on this constantly. I imagine it's a good time to go ahead and stop here. I'm at the Texas state line. I've got about another half an hour before I get home. The sun is still up. Isn't that a fantastic thing? Regardless, I'm going to leave you with the priestly blessing. This is the blessing from my fathers back to Aaron himself, God prescribed this blessing to be given to the children of Israel. And so I give it to you, those of you who are of the children of Israel. Here it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace.